5 feet apart.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to We Rate Queerbait, a show where we explore the blurry lines between homies, homos, and ancient immortal wives. I am your host, Devin. My pronouns are he, him.
I'm Sky. My pronouns are he, she.
I'm Emery, and I play an offense plug-in A, giving my Taumon security attack plus one. Then, you know, of course, my inherited effects are going to activate. You know, I gain two memory, draw two from my Renamons, and Yukimon? What are they called? Vixiemons. There we go. Okay, then I'm going to play a second plug-in, high-speed plug-in D. Then, so, you know, now I have jamming and unblockable.
Yep.
Now, Taumon is going to attack your security stack. So I'm going to suspend one of my rookies to play an evolution plug-in S, draw one from the card effect. I'm going to evolve into Sakuyamon, draw for evolving. Now, Sakuyamon's evolution effect allows me to unsuspend. Now I'm going to pull all of my plug-ins out of the trash, because I have enough tamers to do that. So I'm going to suspend my second rookie to play another security plug, or to play another offense plug-in. And so now I'm attacking with three security checks with jamming. Now, since my Sakuyamon unsuspended, I'm going to swing again for those last two checks. And now I attack with my Renamon for the game. And my pronouns are they, she, he.
Yep, I understood all of that. Yep.
I'm fine. I did not understand any of that. I'm willing to admit that right here, right now. I love Yu-Gi-Oh! I love holding the cards in my physical hands. I do not.
That was Digimon the card game.
Oh, that was. See, I didn't even know that.
Let's listen.
You
that's
see,
the one.
If it was me on my turn one, I would.
That's the one card game I play. Yep. It's all I have. I'm just like, what's the coolest play you can do with
a
Renamon
deck?
It's that one.
Let's just make this an episode of us describing card moves.
Let's do it.
Let's just make this an episode of us describing card moves we can do each other. It'll be perfect.
I think in that imaginary setup
Yeah, I never even got Magic the Gathering.
I had a Renamon and also two Digimon evolved on top of Renamon, so I had like four monsters, or at least three monsters on the field there. Which isn't bad for a Renamon deck. You're in a pretty good position when that's happening.
Yeah,
I probably didn't
setup.
Need to go that hard
a
with all
opener.
My plugins. Anyway...
Hello?
Oh, are you all there?
I might have lost you.
Can you hear me?
I tell you what, Discord is having a lot of trouble rendering your very detailed Digimon talk. I'm sure it's getting great at the recording. We will have it. The audience will love to listen to it. But Discord is like, no, stop. You get no detail.
Discord said I'm cutting you off.
Discord being too cowardly to let me play a Sakuyamon.
That's right. It's like, oh no, the move is too powerful.
The coward Discord versus... hey, listeners. Hello.
It's being too cowardly to let me Matrix evolve.
Exactly. Hey, listeners. We didn't see you there.
We were far too busy.
Far too busy.
Talking about the joy of card games.
Yeah, speaking of card games, we're talking about Yu-Gi-Oh! GX today. But not, like, any specific part.
Yu-Gi-Oh! GX.
Yu-Gi-Oh! GX. A show built entirely off vibes.
Yu-Gi-Oh! GX. One of the funniest shows of all time.
It's damn near perfect.
Truly some incredible comedy moments.
Truly.
It's such a good show. I wish they didn't spend so much goddamn time playing card games. Because that shit's boring.
Exactly. But it does make the comedy even better when it happens.
I know.
I was telling Sky about the time where, spoilers, Judai becomes evil and becomes the Supreme King for about two episodes. And the one guy with the hat and the crocodile is like, don't worry, with the power of friendship, we'll reach his heart. And then he immediately gets completely blown out in the duel. And he just looks at his other friend, Austin, and is like, bro, fucking run. This guy's crazy.
Didn't he also reveal that he has a magic eye, meteorite in his eye hole?
Yes.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
He tripped down, I think, like, something and lost an eye, and some random old man just shoved a meteorite into it and said, this will be important later.
Was it?
No. It was completely useless.
Damn, because sure, I know that one guy's dinosaur leg bone is important.
We love
it.
Kenzan
is, and then
here.
Some asteroid ejected from Sona out into space.
Yeah, I forgot to tell you. In season 2, there's a big satellite shooting a laser beam at Earth that will destroy it for some fucking reason. So he has to use his dinosaur bone to astro project his fursona so he can fly into space and blow up the satellite.
That's beautiful.
It's gorgeous. They're like, Kenzan, we need you.
And then come to find out the dinosaur hates him.
Come to find out the dinosaur bone hates him. Because his past life was a T-Rex that ate
the show kicks ass.
The show whips ass.
It's so good. You're not going to get drama like this anywhere else.
It's just completely vibes based.
You just have to waft through some card games first.
It's so good. Okay. I'm going to run through the plot of this show.
Yeah,
because it doesn't
it.
Matter. Uh-huh. Specifically, I'm going to run through the plot of season 3 and 4.
Yeah.
Because the first two seasons don't matter.
Let's do it.
Season 3, we meet Judai. Judai is the main character. He's so good at dueling, even though he's in the worst house, which is the Scyther Reds, and everyone hates him.
Mm-hmm.
It's his third year.
He has a deck made up of cards, mm-hmm. that were just like little superhero drawings he made when he was a child, and then Seto Kaiba put them in a capsule, put that capsule on a spaceship, sent them out into space to absorb cosmic radiation so that they would become sapient and turn into real cards.
Or if you
and then
listen to the dub,
later as a teenager, he got those cards back from space.
Exactly. Or if you listen to dub, you will get Kaiba's line, which is, he does it because he wants to find alien life in the universe, and if there is alien life, why not teach him how to duel?
I can't describe my love.
That's right. Why not?
Why not? If they were intelligent, they would know how to play Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah, the only intelligent life I'm interested in is one that is interested in dueling.
That can play this card game.
Here's the thing, they go to hella many dimensions in Yu-Gi-Oh! GX, and everyone there duels. Like,
yeah.
If they met
aliens,
they would 100% have duel discs.
Yeah,
they would.
That's
all,
right.
It might be built into their arms, as is for so many of the people in these dimensions they go to.
Yeah.
So, season 3... Judai is in a super secret spot that he goes to when he doesn't want to talk to any of his friends who he may or may not like. And then a little boy with like a frilly pirate shirt and his chest unbuttoned a little bit and the gayest expression on his face just pops in and is like, hey, I got lost. We should stare at each other for a minute and say, wow, you can also see ghosts. Which is what they do. And Judai says, you
hold
new
hands.
Here? And he
I
says,
mean, shake hands.
Yeah, they shake hands. Mm-hmm. That's what they do, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Judai's like, you new here? And he's like, sure. That's a word for it. And he's like, well, welcome, first year. And he's like, yep, word for it. And then they go to an assembly. We meet some new students. One is a guy with a big crocodile on his back. Hilarious. The other is a boring-looking guy.
I love him.
I love him. Love, 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 love him.
I love him and his crocodile.
Love him, love his crocodile. The crocodile's name is Shirley. Great.
It's
we meet,
Karen in the sub.
There's another guy. Oh, what was it? Oh, yeah, it was Karen in the sub.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. There is...
Thank you, Karen.
There is Austin O'Brien, who is a black character who's drawn only minorly racistly, which is, you know... A step forward.
Hooray.
He is cool because...
Step forward in terms of anime.
right? We're making progress. He's cool because his dual disc was a gun.
Well, when you say mildly racist.
God. The first time we see him, he's like in his like cabin on a ship with the lights off, just fucking practicing like
his quick draw.
Drawing his dual disc from the holster, which is a gun that just transforms into a dual disc.
Which, once again, is hilarious because after that, he has to obey the laws of Yu-Gi-Oh!, which is a turn-based system. It doesn't matter how fucking quick you draw your gun.
Yes, it does. Gives him first turn advantage every time.
Every single time. We meet another guy who sucks and doesn't matter. His name's Amon Grom. No one cares about him.
I care him.
Do you care him?
I don't really. He just looks so cool that I want to care him. But I...
Well, he sucks.
There's nothing to care.
He sucks. He wanted to... Well, here's a funny thing about him. He was adopted by a wealthy family, and they were like, you're going to be our wealthy son. And he's like, great. And then they had a normal son, so they said, you're no longer going to be our wealthy son. And he's like, I'm going to fucking kill that baby. So he sneaks into the baby's room and is going to kill that baby. But then the baby looks at him and he says, never mind, I like this baby.
Damn.
That's his backstory. That's everything he is.
He has an employee who's in love with him, I think.
Yeah, I don't know what's really going on between him and her. She dies for him.
Damn.
He's trying to resurrect Exodia, and he's like, I need a human sacrifice for it. And she's like, I'm so down, dude. I am literally have him kill me.
She should have been at the club.
And the last person we meet is, well, his name is Professor Cobra.
He's got a...
He is the sharpest pompadour you've ever seen in your fucking life. And he is the most evil man you've ever seen in your life.
His shoulders are 5 feet wide.
His shoulders are the size of Texas.
I don't know why he's Cobra and not Unicorn.
He's built like a shit brick house.
That is true.
And he's the most evil looking man, and no one seems to know.
Yeah. And the first thing he does is he walks out and he's like, we're going to have a duel.
No one can figure it out.
No one can figure out how evil he is. Yeah, he walks out and he's like, we're going to have a duel between Judai and Johan.
And then he leaves. And halfway through the duel, they're like, wait, where did he go? And still no one is like,
he goes to one of...
Something's going on with this guy.
Yeah, Judai is like,
he goes
oh,
to
the
one
new
of
guy.
The many just like empty, big empty rooms in Duel Academy where you can just go to do a secret evil magic experiment and no one will bother you. There are so many of these.
Yeah, he goes to one of Duel Academy's many abandoned research facilities that Kaiba set up to study the intricacies of dueling. That you can just go to.
And also invent a monkey that can duel.
Exactly. Kaiba is a beautiful genius.
God, the delay is so bad right now. I'm sorry, Devin. This is going to be a nightmare to edit.
Oh, it's going to be fine. I'm going to survive. Once again, going to be our easiest episode yet. It won't matter that we're not responding to each other because it's vibes-based.
That's a beautiful thought.
Yeah, it's
I hope
it's
you
vibes
still
only.
Feel that way when you actually sit down and try to listen to it.
When I sit down to edit, I'm going, where the fuck is the out of sync coming from? Where every 2 seconds I'm like, it's out of sync again. I just think back to when we were doing Gone Wolf Hunting and my internet was dog shit, and my recordings were always the ones getting out of sync, and thinking about how much you had to edit that, so, you know.
You know.
Where was I? Oh, yeah. Professor Cobra, when Johan and Judai duel, he just gives them some cool bracelets, and he's like, these are kind of like fitness counters. Instead of counting your steps, they'll count your duel.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Your duel energy.
And so everyone's like, yeah, that's sure. And he's like, everyone gets one also. Everyone, every single person gets one. Also, I'm announcing right now, everyone in the school has to duel. Right now.
Everything else is suspended. This is a dual school only. We are only dueling.
Forever. We're only dueling. Nothing else is happening. I can unilaterally decide this without any of the approval from the staff.
Yeah, even if the rest of the staff is, like, visibly shocked, they're just still gonna, like, it's gonna happen.
Yeah, so now everyone's dueling, but oh no, these bracelets, they're just... they're milking these students of all their dual energy. All their dual energy is just getting sucked dry.
Thank you, Pot of Greed, for inventing...
I love how this is a dual universe of a card game, and it does have a mana cost.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I can't fully hear you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Pot of Greed, for inventing the phrase dual milk. I love it.
Dual milk is a great phrase, and I love it dearly, and that's what's happening right now. They're getting milked of their dual.
Don't enjoy.
No, that's good. So, first part of season three is they're figuring out, wow, who could be doing all this dual milking? And they're like, oh, damn, it's Professor Cobra. That's crazy. And so they go to stop him. And he's like, I did this because this evil demonic hand that's sitting in a jar said it would bring my son back to life if I did. And they're like, well, that's clearly a lie. And he's like, no, I think it's trustworthy.
It's fine.
It's fine. Turns out it wasn't trustworthy. It's an evil demonic hand.
Who could have foreseen?
It kills him using all that dual milk he just gave it. It teleports them to another dimension where now we're in the kind of survival horror genre of the season where they're stuck in a fucked up desert with an evil dual milk spirit running around and zombies. That's it. That's the season. It doesn't matter.
That's not really relevant to our story.
The only thing that's relevant is that they figure out a way back to the normal... No. They figure out a way to get back to the normal world, but it requires Johan to summon the biggest dragon you've ever fucking seen in your life, powered by gay energy. And he does this, but to save Judai, he has to get stuck in the dimension.
Fucked up.
He's stuck in there with the evil dual milk spirit. Mm-hmm.
God, remember how they built a fucking rocket to send the card to Johan, and like, while they were building the rocket, Pegasus was also wearing a VR headset with like, a drawing tablet to draw the card.
Paint the card! And the only way they could get enough energy to send the rocket to the dimension they were in is to have Johan just duel another guy while the guy berated him for not trying hard enough. He says, you suck shit. God. Duel harder.
You're just like your father.
You're just like your father.
This is incredible. I respect beautiful. This show so much for not... ever throughout the entire duration of the show introducing a single conflict that cannot be solved with dueling. Oh, you're stuck in another dimension? Fucking just duel so hard that you open up a portal.
Yeah. Crazy that I have this universe-defying card in my hand.
So they're back in the normal world. But Judai is sad because Johan's gone. Johan, his boyfriend, who he's been spending all his time with, is now presumed dead. So he's like, nah, I'm gonna fucking go get him. All his other friends, who we may or may once again not care about, are like, we're gonna go with you. And he's like, all right. Okay.
I guess.
And they end up in yet another dimension that's being, overrun by the Supreme King. Who is that? His forces, and they're just causing a lot of mayhem, and so Judai has to duel. The plot of this arc is that genocide is happening, and it's making Judai sad. His friends also get killed this arc, which make him sadder, causes him to realize he is the Supreme King, somehow.
Reincarnation,
that's the reason. He becomes evil for a few episodes, he kills some people. But one of the people dies and it wakes him up and he's like, oh damn, I was so evil for a few episodes.
Damn, that's fucked up. I just killed some people.
The cool guy who was berating Johan starts to berate Judai, being like, God, you're such a pussy. Why, are you sad you killed your friends? Come on now. He dies after fighting a Johan who has been revealed to be A, possessed, B, wearing a sick bondage leather outfit, and D, just using the most evil deck you've ever seen in your life.
It's his own deck, but it's just evil.
It's just evil now. That's what he is. That's what he's doing now.
He has, like, a bunch of, like, what if you combined, like, a Steven Universe Gemsona and, like, a Fursona? That's all his cards.
Exactly. And what if they were all the colors of the rainbow and they fused into a big gay evil dragon? Yeah.
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 So it is, like, the gayest concept. It is the most gay-coded possible concept you could have for a deck.
Exactly. And it was all created by Julius Caesar.
It's a triple threat.
Sorry, Sky, I forgot to tell you. These cards were...
No, there was a line in what we watched, but it was like, I just was like, we're gonna just zoom past that, because I don't have time to unpack that. That was just like, oh, that deck, the proof of the, like...
The power of the Roman Empire?
Yeah! We're just like, oh... All right.
Made by Julius Caesar, yeah.
Guess that's part of the lore.
Got lost at sea, and that's why the Roman Empire fell.
Yeah, and then it started glowing the first time that it saw that blue boy.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And it was just like, wow, I guess all these creatures belong to him.
Guess they belong to him.
GX is one of the greatest comedy shows of all time. I cannot overstate this.
It's so good. I cannot recommend people watch this show, but I highly recommend people watch this show. I cannot. It's so good. Okay. Judah is like, I gotta confront Johan to make him unpossessed.
What else happens?
He's making him unpossessed by Yubel. So
y'all there?
Yeah, we're still here.
Has it caught up yet?
Yeah, we're back.
Okay. Judah's going to confront Yubel, who's possessing Johan. And he's like, I'm gonna fucking get Johan back. They begin their duel in a subspace dimension.
Have we described Yubel physically? Have we described
Not
what
yet.
Yubel looks
I will...
like?
I will we'll get to there. What Yubel looks physically.
Uh-huh.
First, we have to unpossess Johan. Judai begins to duel Johan. It's a Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel, so none of it matters. Except we learn in this duel that Johan is currently being kept asleep in his subconscious in his spirit card, the Rainbow Dragon. Gay. And Judai has to awake him. And he uses the Supreme King's ultimate card, which is Super Polymerization, to fuse his favorite card, Elemental Hero Neos, and the Rainbow Dragon together so he can awaken Johan's soul with his soul. And that works. That goes off without a fucking hitch. As this happens, though, a cool demon... floats out of Johan. And that's Yubel. Can we describe what Yubel looks like?
Sky, I would love it if we did.
Yeah, we should talk about Yubel. Yubel is here's the thing, because when I was watching this, I didn't even pick up on it at first.
This is what them looks like.
Until Devin, pointed out, like, very physically, like, what's going on. Like, I thought she just had one tit out, right?
Nope.
Mm-mm. And then it zooms in on her, and you realize that the one tit is a pec. And one of her eyes doesn't have eyelashes. And then if you turn around and you look at her butt, she got one square ass cheek.
One square ass.
And one round ass cheek. And so you put all that together and you realize, oh, she's bi-gender in the most literal half and half way possible. Just right down the
middle.
One smooth
guy, one... One smooth thigh, one muscular thigh, one high heel foot, one dragon foot.
Yeah, I don't know why one of the arms is like a dragon arm, and I don't know why that's the male half. I don't know. There's sexual dimorphism going on here that I do not comprehend.
I need the listeners to just go online and just type in the word Yubel. Y-U-B-E-L. Just look at Yubel with your eyeballs, please. Mm-hmm. Please look at Yubel. Look at them. Look at them, please.
I also love the strange way they do the voice acting. Like, because it does, it is occasionally a male actor. And then, like, at the very, very end, it's two voices at once. Not when the head split, because that happened a while ago. It's just the very, very end of the fight, after it split into, like, four heads.
It's when Yubel gets pissed, the male head starts talking.
Yeah. It's very...
It's very...
Yubel does the thing that I wish I could do with my voice, where they just kind of switch back and forth.
It whips ass. Yubel also does the thing I wish I could do, which is, if I'm ever destroyed, I just become a bigger, scarier dragon.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
If you ever kill me, I will just materialize as something bigger and cooler.
Yeah, get you a queen who, if you kill her, will just come back.
We'll come back stronger.
Stronger and scarier.
Exactly. So... Yubel's whole thing is that Yubel's pissed at Judai. Yubel's like, you were so mean to me. What did you do to me? And Judai's like, the fuck are you talking about? And so Yubel has to explain. Yubel used to be Judai's first card spirit best friend. And every time Judai lost a duel and was sad, Yubel would just like mind crush the people he was playing against, just fucking break their spirits right then and there. And so he was like, I didn't have any friends because you would kill them all. So when I got to design cards for Kaiba, I also put you in the rocket that got launched into space, thinking that maybe space would make you nice.
Why?
Turns out I was wrong. And actually, you got... dislodged from your original course and hurtling back into Earth's atmosphere, which caused you to be on fire for like years on end. So when
Yubel is a little bit Shadow the Hedgehog coded like that.
Yeah, Yubel is Shadow the Hedgehog. When Yubel tried to reach out to Judai to be like, hi, babe, I'm it's so funny. I think you made a mistake by setting me on fire like this. And every time she did, Judai would get scared, so he, his parents put him through the MRI that makes you forget things. The forget me MRI.
Yeah,
as a person with deep personal trauma, I know for a fact that when you go to the hospital, they're gonna tell you, okay, we're gonna put you in a special machine that's gonna repress that as hard as possible. We're just gonna wipe that memory completely blank. You'll be totally fine after, no more nightmares, it's fine.
That's exactly what they do.
That's how it happens.
We're just going to put you in the eternal sunshine of the spotless mind machine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
This is a normal thing to do to a child.
So Yubel, to cope with all this anger and pain and anguish, was just like, oh, you must have done that because you love me. Clearly no normal person would do this to someone else unless they loved them. So I will now show you my love, which is killing all your friends.
Yeah, I can't imagine any world in which you don't love me. So all these horribly painful actions you've taken against me must be acts of love. I think I have a solid understanding of this now. Because I love you so much, I'm going to kill all your friends and turn you into a sicko.
I'm going to cause you the most mental anguish I possibly can. Yubel also keeps going through every time I try to talk to you, that fucking piece of shit, Johan, would just show up and then distract you away from me. It's super weird.
Yeah.
Which is why I possessed him to try to make you kill him. That didn't work, though. Sad.
I mean, is it gay for a straight woman to be so obsessed with you that she possesses your boyfriend?
Yes.
I think that's pretty gay.
So...
I would not even remotely define Yubel as a straight woman, though.
That's true. Yubel is... We saw the flashback, too. Yubel's character design was also the most... This could be any kind of little kid you've ever seen in your life. This would be the most any kind of little kid. Anyways, so Judai's like, I don't care about all that. None of it matters. I'm going to beat you in this duel. So Yubel's like, you're being really mean to me right now. And Judai is like, I don't care. All I'm thinking about is Johan right now. So much so I even summoned the fusion of our two monsters right now and wish he was here next to me. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I do wish he was right here next to me.
Wish he was here next to me. Yubel at that point says, Oh, you love him, huh? You love him? Did all the love you had for me go to him? Huh? Fine. I'll just kill everyone. Kill you, kill myself. Who gives a shit?
That's a card I can play.
That's a card I can play right now. I can do the kill everyone card. That's the one I have in my deck. Judai, at this point, gets thrust into the flashback zone where he sees a past life of Yubel. As a normal person, and a guy is like, Yubel, something about the lore. You're going to have to protect past life Judai, though. And to do that, we're going to have to fucking turn you into a Yu-Gi-Oh card. Are you ready to undergo this?
We're going to have to give you the coolest... We're going to have to give you the coolest GCS of all time.
Exactly. It's going to be painful, but you're going to look sick as fuck. And they say, yes, I'm so down for that. And as that's happening, Judai runs in and he's like, no, what are you doing to Yubel? And Yubel's like, I'm doing this for you, King. And he's like, oh, that's crazy. I'll love you forever. Forever and ever in all our future lives, we'll always be in love. And Yubel says, great.
Did not.
Great. Hopefully you'll never renege on this deal we just made.
That would be fucked up if you did.
Be super fucked up if you did. Anyways, snap back to reality. Oop, there goes gravity. Judai in the current is like, damn, that's crazy I did that to you, huh? Anyways, Yubel, I'm going to do the one thing that matters, which is use that spell card that lets me fuse anything I see with me, and I'm going to fuse you and me together so we can be together forever again. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get married twice in the span of 3 episodes.
That's right.
I'm going to use the marriage card to get married again.
Low key, it is a pretty baller move in a Yu-Gi-Oh game to play a spell card and instead of targeting like anything on the field, it's like, no, you and me are going to fuse, baby.
No, you and me, buddy.
That's how I initiate
this isn't,
sex.
That's right. Yeah. First, you have to get them to sit down and play a card game with you. And
then I play the spell card that fuses two things. I say, you and me.
Anything I see, buddy.
You and me right now. That's how we're doing it. Can't say no to the card.
It's right in the cards.
Don't you hate it when your deck breaks and you end up cocked blocked?
No, I wanted to play the sex card. No,
yeah,
this is crazy.
It's taking all your life points. You're like, no, it's in here.
No, just give me one more draw.
This is my special sex deck. I know it's in here.
What if you went to play the sex card and then they hit it with the spell negate? What then?
Ice cold,
damn. Thought we were going to fuse, but
I think you have to swallow your tears and finish the game as quickly as possible.
Just get out of there.
Yeah. Because, That's why
all aces should play control.
Exactly. Okay. Just keep hitting that negate. Just block. Nope, block. You're not playing that card. Anyways, Judai is now going to fuse with Yubel, which makes Yubel cancel the destroy everything button.
Yeah.
Judai, in this moment, does what every young anime boy does and pretends to pass out right into Yubel's chest.
Yeah.
Nice.
Nice.
Yubel says, I can't wait for us to join together and talk about the lore a little bit together. And then they do. And everyone just assumes after that Judai fucking died.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But joke's on them. There's a season four, baby.
Mm-hmm.
We did two episodes in season four. He's back. He's alive. He has Yubel eyes now.
Yep.
But no one really questions why. He has heterophobia. Anyways, here's the thing. Stuff is happening this season. None of it matters. There's a guy in leather who keeps appearing and being like, I will plunge the world into darkness. And Judai keeps saying, no.
No.
That's the season. He has to keep telling that guy, fuck off.
Is that the cool skeleton guy or is this a different guy?
There's a different guy. Mm. He's kind of like the Agent Smith who will one day become the skeleton guy.
None of the plot in season four is important. What's important is that Manjo Mei gets a job as an administrative assistant, and then he gets a promotion where he gets to wear an Ojama yellow mascot costume and be pathetic in duels.
Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I love Manjo Mei.
Manjo Mei is really good. If you watch Yu-Gi-Oh! GX for anything, watch it for
watch
Manjo Mei.
Do it for her.
If you want me to, I will go through the show and I will find episodes with Manjo Mei in them.
Just cherry pick all of the Manjo Mei.
I say, hear the Manjo Mei episodes.
My specific Yu-Gi-Oh! GX playlist.
Exactly. Here's your skip list. Anything that does not include Manjo Mei.
Oh,
Manjo Mei goes through the character growth arc of starting off as an entitled rich boy and then just like falling over and rolling around in the mud and becoming stinky, smelly, just pathetic little worm for the entire rest of the show. And it's incredible.
His family literally disowns him because he's too stinky, smelly.
Just like Batman.
Just like Batman. Yeah, exactly.
Well, more like the Dark Knight.
Yeah, sure.
Specifically.
Okay. Okay. Plot of season four. Doesn't matter. People are getting depression left and right.
Damn.
There's a big eclipse in the sky. Judai, he just had to kill a guy. He's very sad. But Johan shows up and is like, hey man, I'm the light in your life that's bringing you through the darkness. And Judai said, last season that was bad, but now it's good, so I'm happy.
Oh my god, we haven't even touched on the
light. I can't do it.
Fucking god.
I can't do it. It doesn't make sense. It's not good. Anyways, they have to go fight a guy. He's an evil twink. The evil twink is like, you guys are both going to duel. Yep.
Remember how in season one, we find out that this high school for card games, Duel Academy, has an alchemy class?
Oh, yeah, Sky. The little ghost that was floating around,
mm-hmm.
He was the alchemy teacher before he died. He was also immortal. But then
because of alchemy.
Yeah, but then his Philosopher's Stone ran out, so he died.
Hmm.
And it's not, you know, it's not like he's, like, possessing the cat. He just lives in the cat because the cat keeps eating him.
Yeah.
Sisyphean nightmare of being eaten by a cat before you can move on to the next world, yes.
Yeah, a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh! GX seems to be about what if reincarnation was horrible and fucked up?
Yep.
And you just kept getting eaten by your cat.
Or your eternal husband forgot about you in one of his future lives and launched you into fucking space.
Damn.
Anyways, they battle a twink. There's not really much to talk about other than Judai and Johan duel with each other, which, out of all the characters introduced in the show, they chose it to be Judai and Johan. And then, at one point, the evil guy is like, I shall now reveal the evil darkness in your heart that's clouding your thoughts. And it's revealed to Johan that the darkness in his heart is Judai. And when everyone's like, oh no, it's Judai, Johan just says, well, yeah, I think about him constantly.
Constantly.
I love that guy. And then the evil darkness guy loses. That's it. Some other plot happens after that, which is a cool skeleton just shows up after giving the world depression and is like, Judai, I'm gonna fucking kill you. And Judai says no.
Mm-hmm.
And then at one point, he's like, I'm all alone. And Yubel appears behind him and says, no, you're not. We're married. And he said, oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
No, yeah, we are married. And then she starts cheating. She just starts cheating. She just starts talking behind his shoulder and being like, he's going to play this card, King. And he's like, thanks.
Thanks, Queen.
Thanks.
Incredible.
Thanks, Bestie. This is also the incredible part where we learn that the universe was created by a Yu-Gi-Oh card being flipped face down.
That's right.
Which I think was that's in the secret, the book The Secret, actually. I think that's in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that seems right to me.
The secret is what's the card that's flipped face down.
In the beginning, God said, you've activated my trap card. Mm-hmm. That's literally it.
That's it.
In the beginning, God said, I end my turn.
Uh-huh. That's the seventh day. That's the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. Anyways, that's the whole of Yu-Gi-Oh! GX. This has been the easiest summer we have ever did in our entire lives.
That's right.
Nothing about the plot of Yu-Gi-Oh! GX matters. Not a bit. Not a
remember
single...
Remember how that one time there was just like some kind of radio signal that was making reptiles go crazy, and it was making like Karen go feral, and then Kenzan has a dinosaur bone in his body, he also went feral, and he got into a duel while he was feral, and then
played better.
He played better. He played cards like normal, but instead of like talking through his actions like he usually does, he was just going rah 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 rah, and then he pulls out a 7-star on the first turn, and everyone is just like, wow, Feral Kenzan is strong.
Damn,
like wow, he's like better at the game when he's feral. I forgot.
No comment on the fact that he's suddenly become nonverbal. They're like, wow, he's better now.
I need to talk about Kenzan. Season 2 includes a villain who is going around hypnotizing people into his white people cult. That's what it is. Everyone goes around that season and says, ah, I see you're white. And the guy tries to hypnotize him into the cult. But he can't because he has a dinosaur bone in his leg that they just put into his leg when he broke his leg, broke a normal bone. Instead of putting him in a cast, they said dinosaur bone, actually.
They said, we're actually going to remove it.
We're going to remove it and put a new bone in it.
Put a new one in, it's going to be a dinosaur bone.
Which is not what a fossil is, mind you. And so he can't be possessed because the spirit of the dinosaur protects him from possession. For some reason. So in season 4, to get around this little fact that he's effectively just, he can't get possessed by anything, we learn that his past life was a T-Rex that ate the Triceratops that is the dinosaur bone in his leg. So actually the Triceratops hates him.
Yeah, you have this super cool, for some reason your bone broke, and we replaced it.
We didn't just
instead
put
of
you in
putting
a cast.
You in a cast. We replaced it with a dinosaur bone, which is perfectly compatible with your human body.
Know how we did this.
It gives you all kinds of cool powers, but it does hate you.
It will protect you.
On a personal level.
It will protect you from getting possessed, but given the opportunity, it will resent you for being the T-Rex that ate it.
Remember how one of the teachers is the most Italian man alive, and he spends most of the first season trying to get Judai expelled?
Because he just personally doesn't like him.
That's right.
Remember how he had probably the most emotional episodes in season 4, where he was really sad all his favorite students were going to graduate, and so he was like being shitty to them and trying to get them held back a year? So Judai had to do one final duel with him, and at the end, when Judai wins, which allows them to graduate, they all stand up and they all say, gotcha, which is Judai's catchphrase, and the guy starts crying.
Damn.
Because he's going to miss them
all. Remember? Yeah, remember
and it was
how
my favorite
the funny
episode.
Italian Remember how the funny Italian comedy characters suddenly pulled out a fucking emotional arc that made me cry?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite episodes where I'm getting to the end of it and Judai's music is starting and I'm like, fuck yeah, dude, fuck yeah.
Incredible.
Let's see, what other things can we just remember?
God.
No, I can't.
This is a visual gag, so just explain. This is a visual gag, so just explaining it isn't really gonna like land it properly. But remember when they were in another dimension, and I think this is after Judai became the Supreme King and everyone died, and O'Brien and Crocodile Jim were donned their, like, fucking wasteland cloaks and just started wandering around the desert. And, Jim had Karen strapped to his back, wrapped in bandages, like some kind of fucking sword.
Like some kind of fucking Trigun gun? Like he was fucking Trigun?
Like a like one of those big Naruto swords.
Yeah, This is, speaking of Austin O'Brien, remember how they had, like, a really horrifying backstory for him that is also kind of comedy? Mm-hmm. Where he's in a car crash with his parents and the car is about to catch on fire and explode, and he has to choose which parent he loves more to save, and he chooses his dad because he's like, well, if mom died, she wouldn't be able to survive without him. But dad's strong, so maybe he'll be able to survive. And he saves his dad, and the whole episode is built on he's consumed by guilt for this decision. And then the very next episode, they reveal that his dad, upon getting out of the car, just, like, runs around and grabs his mom out of the car, too.
God.
So now this little 8-year-old boy, instead of getting therapy, has just been racked with guilt. For saying, guess I'll just let my mom die.
Remember how Austin's dual disc is a gun and he can shoot cards out like bullets?
He can shoot cards out like bullets. Once again, don't know why.
Doesn't do anything for him, but he can.
He can shoot someone with a card bullet, yes. They do explode upon contact with things.
They do explode.
Don't know how he gets them back.
Yeah, he just runs around and picks them up. They're fine after exploding.
Yeah, he just knocks the soot off of them and is like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like cartoon. Like, you know, if it blows up, it will just sort of have like an ash outer coating. And if you brush it off, it's good as new.
Exactly, exactly.
Remember how Rio lost one professional duel and then... Became depressed. An underground sicko pervert freak.
Oh, sorry. Rio is... I briefly explained when Yubel killed a guy who was calling Judai a big pussy for being sad for killing his friends. Uh-huh. That's Rio. He's a pervert in which he lost one professional game, got put into an underground cage match where they, like, electrocute you to death if you lose the duel. Mm-hmm. And then he just decided that was going to be his thing all the time. He loved it.
Yeah, he's just going to wear a shock collar constantly.
Wears a shock collar constantly, so every time he takes damage in a duel, it electrocutes him a little bit, and he loves it.
He
fucking loves that shit, and it happens so much that it gives his heart an arrhythmia. So I have to describe, he doesn't lose the duel to possess Yubel. He was going to win it, but his heart physically stopped, and he died. The duel. He was gonna win with the biggest monster you've ever seen. His number was fucking huge, and he was gonna fucking obliterate Yubel. And then his heart just stopped.
And then he was like, "Oh." Whoops.
Then he's like, "Oh, whoops."
I guess I was just a sucker for pain.
He dueled so hard he nutted his last nut and then died. I was on that Pot of Greed episode. I popped huge at that.
God,
I love that episode. It's so stupid.
Incredible.
He's like, GX is simply the funniest show of all time. Remember how A man kept... his deck kept bricking. He kept getting the worst fucking draws. So in order to get better at RNG, he quit school and just started living in the jungle out on the island outside the school. And that made him really good at drawing cards.
Yeah, because what he did, he became attuned with nature, and then he would just sit out in the middle of the woods and just draw cards. That's all he did. That's
like you do.
Like you do.
Right, but... Okay.
How does that affect RNG? Okay, Sky, we have to describe something.
I understand counting cards. I have people in my family who got good enough at counting cards that, like, they could not play cards without counting them. Like, they just physically couldn't do it anymore. What I don't understand is what getting into nature has to do with that
We have to tell you
this isn't counting cards. This is...
Your draw stat.
You get... You level up your RNG stat, basically.
Yeah, we have to... Judai is, by the literal admittance of the show, characters will literally say this and say, his ability to draw the card he needs to win the game is really high. It is a stat that he has, that he uses. They say he doesn't need strategy or a good deck because he can just draw the one he needs to win. That's all he does. It is a physical stat within the universe that people know about, and apparently not everyone is min-maxing.
You can just be good at top decking.
You can just
it's like
be
a
good
skill at... you can practice and improve.
Just practice your top deck skills. It doesn't matter. It is not a stat everyone is min-maxing, even though it appreciably seems like the best one.
I just... I don't understand. Okay.
How does it work?
Yeah, that's fine. I understand completely.
99 luck stat. That's what it is.
I understand completely how you can, in the real physical world, have a video game stat that you just can, like, sit in one spot and just grind and it'll go up.
And everyone is aware of it. It's not like a thing where someone's just like, wow, that's kind of odd. No, everyone is like, no, that's just, it's an ability he has. It's his stat.
It's just...
Yeah. That Jungle Man loincloth he has equipped is actually an item with a luck stat bonus.
Yeah,
on
it gives him +4 luck.
Yeah.
Hey, Emery?
Uh-huh.
Can we talk about Misawa's tiger wife?
Oh my god, yes.
So, Sky, I briefly described this, but one episode, they were fighting some, in season one, they were fighting some evil guys. One of them was a vampire, canonically a vampire, like canonically a real vampire, the last vampire in the world. Judai kills him. So theoretically, he does finish a genocide started hundreds of years ago.
Sure.
Which is hilarious. Uh-huh. That's never brought up again. Secondly,
it's really funny.
There's a lady named Tanya who just shows up one day, gets a bunch of men to build a coliseum for her where she can duel people. Misawa, who has been losing bad recently, just not doing good at all, says, nah, I got this one. I can do it. He loses bad again because she's a big buff lady and he's a little bit intimidated by her. Mm-hmm. She says, great, you're going to be my slave now. And everyone just kind of lets this happen.
Yeah, everyone's like, cool.
Everyone's just like, damn, that sucks. Awesome. And they leave. Mm-hmm. We hear Misawa.
No one really likes Misawa.
No one likes Misawa. We hear his screams for about a day and a night. And they're like, okay, never mind. We got to go get him. We got to save him from the torture he's experiencing.
Uh-huh.
No, he's not. He's actually chilling.
He was screaming, all right.
He was, but not in agony.
Not in agony.
Not in agony. He is now married to Tanya.
That's right.
Now, yes. Judai is like, I'm going to free you, my man. And he's like, you don't really need to.
No, like.
Judai wins the duel and frees him from Tanya. Misawa's like, really didn't ask you to do that, my man, but thanks.
I really.
And Tanya, having now lost the duel, says, well, I guess I should return home. And then turns into a tiger and wanders into the woods. They don't stop her. They don't say, what the fuck, was she a tiger? She just leaves. Flashback to next season. Misawa, no one likes him still.
Right.
He leaves to work for Albert Einstein, but the Albert Einstein of Yu-Gi-Oh.
Sure.
Who's doing a dual theory revolution, which is you should use trap cards, magic cards, and monster cards in your deck, which, once again, I thought everyone knew that.
No, apparently you should sit around just drawing cards every single day. You should be just training that stat because
top deck your stat.
It doesn't fucking matter.
Also, very important to know, this man is a physicist and his name is Zweistein.
His name is Zweistein.
He looks exactly like you think he will.
He is DaVinci.
Yes, his name is Tustein.
His name is DaVinci. Misawa loves this guy so much. He's like, I have to work for him. And, you know, this is a season where everyone's possessed of being white.
Uh-huh.
Misawa critically did not get possessed. He just joined them because he thought that all his friends were doing it, so he wanted to be with them. Because he's a loser.
Yeah, he felt left out. He didn't get inducted into the cult. He joined it on purpose because he was feeling left out.
He's a fucking loser. Upon learning that Weistein is cool, he says, I'm going to go work for that guy. And then proceeds to strip all his clothes off and just run after the guy naked. We don't know why.
It's just what you do.
Season 3. They're in the evil they're in the evil desert dimension.
I love the way this small side plot is just sewn through.
It's sewn through the whole show.
The rich tapestry of EOGX.
They're in the evil desert dimension, and they see a man wandering through the desert, and they're like, oh god, that guy's gonna get eaten by some harpy ladies. And they find out it's Misawa, and they're like, what the fuck are you doing here? And he's like, I accidentally got sent here through a portal when we were doing some Yu-Gi-Oh card experiments.
I was looking for a harpy woman.
They're like, okay. Misawa, this season, finds Tanya again. She's just around. And she's like, hey man, aren't we married? And he's like, yes. Yes, we fucking are. And instead of joining them on the mission to rescue Johan, he says, nah, man, I'm actually going to hang out with my cool buff tiger wife. That's the end of the story. That's the end of his fucking story. So much so at
That's the last time we see him.
Good for him.
So much so at the end of the season when the principal is like, all the students who left have returned home safely, except a few. And one of them is Ryo, who they thought died. Turns out he washes up on a beach like 3 months later. And the other is Misawa, who just didn't go home because he's banging his hot tiger wife.
Yeah, who just married a tiger woman and was like, no, that's...
Now I'm staying here. It's over for me. I'm chilling.
Yeah, it's too late.
That's his story. Got a buff GF and said, nah, this is it.
Good for him.
I know.
He's the only guy who's winning at Yu-Gi-Oh GX.
It's him and Judai for getting a boyfriend and an immortal wife.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. That's Yu-Gi-Oh GX.
That's GX.
Before we get to, like, rankings...
Yeah, before we talk about the gay things that happened.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna say... No, actually, I was gonna talk about gay things. Because yes. I think there were a couple that were really beautiful.
Were really stood out to you? Yeah.
Yeah, so I really liked when they had their first big duel.
Yep.
Judai and Johan. Yep. And then...
their first big kiss, yeah.
Yeah, Cobra Man comes back and is like...
Here's some wedding rings.
Yeah, here's some wedding rings. Also, everyone's going to be dueling all the time, all the time. And then everyone, like, our like, group of friends looks around and is like, wait, where did Judai and Johan go? What's going on? And then they go outside, and they have already left, and they're just sitting watching the sunset and, like, rehashing the duel. They're just like, no, wouldn't this strategy have been better? And he's like, yeah, it would have, but I was trying to do this strategy, and, like, this is how that would have worked out of it. And
I want to once again point out the spot that they are at is said in season one to be Judai's super secret spot that he goes to when he wants to be by himself and no one's supposed to know about it. They all do because he's not that secretive. But he immediately invited Johan. He was like, you should come with me to my super secret spot.
Yeah, you should come watch the sunset with me and we can talk about the match.
We can talk about Yu-Gi-Oh cards together.
Yeah. Yeah, and then all their friends see them there, and they're like, damn, looks like we found another gamer freak.
Yeah, I guess he collected yet another boyfriend.
That's right.
I would like to talk about Yubel's whole thing this entire season is that Judai doesn't love them, which is why they're torturing. And once again, I will point out where Judai was like, I really wish Johan was here to support me in this duel, but I'll just use his favorite card instead. And Yubel straight up says, oh, so you love him more? Oh, so you, does he fuck you better? Is that what this is? Like, what the fuck?
Right.
You gave all the love you had for me to him? What the fuck, dude?
Yeah, just in language of the show, we have this.
It's in there. It's in there.
Yeah. Yeah, we have her outright saying, like, yeah, we were, like, married, and now you're married to someone else.
Yeah, what the fuck, dude?
Uh-huh. Also, past life Yubel, like, definitely reads as a boy, right?
Yes.
Definitely had some, definitely, I'm not actually joking when I said they went through gender confirmation surgery.
They went through, like, the coolest gender confirmation surgery where they turn you into an androgynous dragon.
Yeah, where you're,
that's
like,
fucking right.
You're born like a boy, and they're like, okay, so, like, now you get to choose, and you're like, but can I be, like, half boy still? And they're like, yeah, we can do that.
They said, like, literally in the most literal sense of the word, yeah, we can do that. And
can I get implant on one side and mastectomy on the other?
Exactly.
That's right.
Can I get one square ass cheek and one round ass cheek?
I want to inject hormones, but only on the left side of my body.
And the,
I want the right side to remain masculine.
Well, the right side, however, can have some hormones, but they're dragon hormones. Can I get dragon hormones on
that
side?
Yeah, I'm going to be all dragon, baby.
Can you put dragon hormones onto that side? Yes.
Yes.
This is what's going to happen if we let trans children have access to healthcare.
In Joe Biden's America.
That's what's going to happen to me in Joe Biden's America.
As soon as
it becomes viable, I am going to be.
I am waiting for them to give me the hormones that turn me into a dragon. I'm chop chop.
She also played Zero Hole card. Do you think?
She played a card called Zero Hole, yes.
That's also a type of gender confirmation.
Yeah. Just seal it up. All of it.
Just close that shit. I don't want it anymore. I don't. Oh, yeah. The other part of Johan is, once again, where the one guy is like, I'm going to reveal the one thing that has been on your heart's mind this entire time, and it turned out to just be like a stock image of Judai, and Johan's like, yeah, I love that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we think about each other constantly.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with him. He's my husband.
We're literally obsessed with each other. What, you think this is a flex?
Every day, I hurry home from school so I can get home to my husband and wife.
You think you're catching me in like a 22 on this? Come on now.
This guy's in high school, and he's been divorced the whole time.
He's been divorced.
And then in a space of like a week, he gets married to two people.
It's not even a space of a week.
It's like
a space
days,
of,
yeah.
In the space of 2 hours. It's one duel.
Yeah,
he uses super polymerization on Johan's card to get married to him. And then he just does it again on Yubel like 30 minutes later.
Yeah.
He says, I do twice.
It's a double wedding.
Remember how one of the teachers who is kind of, who shows up in season
Napoleon?
2 and is kind of like, Napoleon is kind of a comedic counterpart to Kronos.
Yeah, they're getting married.
Remember how Kronos is like a funny Italian and Napoleon is a funny French, and Napoleon is also divorced, his wife left him?
He's divorced, his wife left him, and his son goes to the school, just for season 3, mind you. I don't think he shows up at all in season 4. And the whole season is Napoleon being like, man, I hope my son doesn't hate me because I divorced his mom. And his son then gets possessed by Yubel also. And he spends that section of the show being like, why are you possessed? And his son's like, fuck you.
No. Why are you possessed?
No.
Son, come back to me.
Come back to me, son. I could just do.
The show rules.
The show whips ass. It has no plot. It has no themes whatsoever. You know what? Actually, I think it is time. Let's talk about the show's weird, weird idea about light and dark.
I'm fucking ready.
Yes.
What is going on?
What is happening in the show?
I don't know about the rest of the seasons. I only really watched the material that was assigned.
Okay,
but
let me talk about what happens in the seasons. Uh-huh. Season one. Doesn't really have anything to do with light and dark, except it keeps mentioning the Shadow Realm as, like, a dark, scary place you don't want to go to.
Sure, because it's hell.
Because it's hell. That season doesn't have much to do with light and dark. Season two, the reason everyone
except the Shadow Realm only exists in the dub, though.
Yeah, exactly. It's the other ones, they're literally killing them.
There are shadow duels, and they're a thing that evil people force you to do, but also a thing that the good guy forces you to do, so
who could say if it's good or bad? Zero difference between good and bad things, which is what I think the theme of the show is.
But it is called the shadow duel.
Yep. Season two. The reason everyone is in the cult of white is because the main villain believes in the power of, and I quote, the light of destruction, the burning light that will end the universe.
Mm-hmm.
That's who he's working at. He's an evil sicko who uses a tarot deck, which is objectively cool. He does tarot bad, though. It's not good. But that's who he is.
Uh-huh.
So in this
fiction... Wait, is he... Okay, I'm sorry. This is a card duel-based game. Is he dueling people with his tarot cards?
Yes. He's also...
They're Yu-Gi-Oh cards based on tarot cards.
They're Yu-Gi-Oh cards based on tarot cards.
Oh, right, because you just, make a card and send it to space and it becomes real. Okay.
Yeah, he can also just use his Yu-Gi-Oh cards for tarot.
Sure. Okay, that works.
Here's also a thing he can do. He can cheat by using those tarot cards to figure out what his opponent's going to do and just control what they're going to do.
Sure.
He just cheats. He cheats. That's what he does.
That's half of Yu-Gi-Oh, I think.
That's 90% of Yu-Gi-Oh, yes.
And, like, all the tarot cards have, like, a coin flip effect that sort of decides if they're going to be, like, played upright or inverted. Mm-hmm. And he can just decide what the result of the coin flip is.
Yeah, he can just get the best effect he needs for any situation. It's like every single time they're like, well, at least you have to do a coin flip. And he's like, I can just cheat.
I can just choose.
He's like, I'm evil.
That's what happens if you, like, boost your evil stat.
So season three... It's the entire time characters are talking about, like, the evil light of destruction has come to the world and is going to destroy everything. And Judai keeps being like, ah, yes, the nurturing dark, which defends us, is being encroached upon by the evil destruction of light. And I keep saying, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, there's all this, like, because it's talk. I have beef with the idea of light and dark. In a lot of media.
Yeah, it's never good.
Because a lot of people, I mean, there's generational history about that, but there's also just, like, a fundamental misunderstanding of it. This one just seems to, like, swap them.
It swaps the language.
With no, there's no, like, oh, dark is actually this thing. Like, it's just the gentleness of dark and the destruction of light. And there's no thought to, like, what those things generally symbolize, like, historically or, like, anything like that. They're just, it's, like, what light usually symbolizes is swapped with what dark normally symbolizes. And that's just how it is. For this season specifically,
I'd say
because in next season, the dark is evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say it's about on par with Kingdom Hearts. Exactly! How head empty it is about light dark.
That's what I was talking to Sky. I was like, this is some Kingdom Hearts ass dialogue right now.
Exactly.
There's a part in the next season where Judai is talking to the cool Skellington, who is the embodiment of darkness, and he's just saying some bullshit. He's like, I will use the darkness in me to defeat you who is darkness. And bring back a world of nurturing darkness. And I'm just like, this is some Kingdom Hearts ass dialogue. None of this makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
All of this sounds dumb as shit. Which is probably why I love it.
Yeah. Because it does, okay, so, like, for a second it almost seems ass. Thematic because it's, like, the one guy is, like, oh, yeah, like, you have to embrace the dark within you to fully, like, protect your friends. And I'm like, that seems weird to say, but okay. And then it's just, no, you have to embrace the dark to fight the dark.
Oh, yeah, there is a part where, since Judai becomes a genocidal maniac known as the Supreme King,
right.
he has to, at one point, think, he has to embrace the Supreme King in him, mm-hmm. and at, oh.
What was that?
I don't know.
You with us, Craig?
Did Craig just die?
I don't know.
Let's see if Craig died. Craig says it's still here.
And no one else is here?
Okay.
Yeah. I think we're haunted.
Huh.
We might be a little haunted.
We might be haunted. The Supreme King might be haunting
Yeah,
us.
Supreme King joined the chat, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Yubel. Yubel, if you're listening.
Yubel, if you're listening,
you're glowing.
Get me whatever hormone routine you are on.
Please give me the name Yubel of your surgeon and Yubel, your doctor.
Yubel, call me right this instant. Judai doesn't appreciate you, but I do.
I will.
Like,
you can Steven Universe fusion with me instead if you would like.
Exactly.
It's always open. It's
fuse
always
with
option,
me and
Yubel.
Put me in a cyber slut outfit. Like, what?
I'm right
you
here.
You can give me heterophobia anytime.
Just saying. This I won't our, fling you into the sun, I promise.
Is this also our most haunted episode? Is that what's happening right now?
Probably.
Maybe.
Anyways. The darkness is doing weird shit in this show. I don't know what's going on.
It's very confused symbolism.
It's very confused.
In a way that's like...
Because every time they show like light, it's objectively in a good way.
Yeah, but then they're like, it's the destruction, though.
They're like, it's the evil light of destruction.
It's the evil blinding light of destruction.
Judai is like, I sent the Neospatians into space so they could be nurtured by darkness and fight the evil light of destruction. To which I said immediately after was, you have a card called Glow Moss.
Twinkle Moss.
Sorry, Twinkle Moss.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, and then Johan, when he gets evil, is the dark rainbow. Even though he's being possessed by Yubel, who was like...
Who's objectively evil.
Yes, and also who's, it like said, got like her powers from being by like
the light of destruction.
The light of destruction. But she makes the rainbow evil
she
by
makes dark
turning
monsters.
It dark. Anyway.
It makes no
here's
sense.
Here's the thing, Yubel... Here's the thing. Yubel's not a bad guy. They did nothing wrong. They just love their husband's Judah.
Yeah,
actually, you know what? That's true. They did absolutely nothing wrong. They
Yubel
said, Johan,
fucking nothing
you gotta
wrong.
Get in a cool cyber slut outfit, and you gotta get some cool dark cards. That's what you need to have. And Yoban said, I'm more into, like, frilly pirate outfits, but okay.
That's right.
I feel like there's... Oh, yeah. Can we describe Judai's cards? Can we describe the Neospatians for a second?
Buff.
Can we talk about... Yeah.
Buff. Sometimes when the animators are horny, you can tell because the Neospatians suddenly have sculpted asses. Which is hilarious every time it happens. And
yeah,
also...
Yeah, this is definitely a show where the animators...
Wanted to be doing something else.
Yeah. Like, all through.
And I bring this up specifically so I can talk about Neospatian Aqua Dolphin.
Oh my god.
He has a fucked up face. He's a buff dolphin. He's wearing
no clothes
boots.
Except for boots.
He's wearing boots. Don't put the boots on him. He looks more naked with the boots on.
Don't put the boots on him because then it makes me realize he's not wearing anything else. Don't.
Neos, like the, like, what?
Yeah, Neos?
Neos.
Elemental
is not...
here in Neos?
Yes. Yeah. He.
Nothing
is not
on.
Wearing pants, and that looks fine because he's also not wearing shoes.
He's not wearing shoes, so you can just assume he's wearing like a full body suit. Can't do that with Aqua Dolphin. No, he's
Aqua
naked.
Dolphin shouldn't have. Okay, he shouldn't wear boots because it makes him look more naked. Also, he's a dolphin. He should be very used to water.
No, he's got to have those boots.
Why
on.
Why does he have to have the rain boots?
He's got to have the rain boots on.
Are they to hide fins? Because
his big stompers.
It doesn't seem like that way, because he's just got human hands.
He's to hide his big stompers.
It's fucked up.
It's fucked up. None of his other Neospatians do that.
No.
No.
It's just Aqua Dolphin.
It's just Aqua Dolphin. Not even his elemental heroes do that.
His fucked up red shoes and his Ken doll situation.
It's fucked up to look at and to see with my eyes.
Although I guess fish do have the, you know... We all saw The Shape of Water.
Yeah,
has the, you know, the thing that we're doing visually. You can't you can't see it.
It's called a cloaca.
But
is that Yu-Gi-Oh! GX? Is that all we have to say for now? Do we have to do our rankings? GX.
We get to do our rankings.
We get to do our rankings. Or that's exactly
what you're talking about.
You know what? That's a great attitude to have. I don't have to go to work. I get to go to work. What are we doing for No Homo?
God. No Homo.
This show is straight.
Is pretty low.
This show is inherently straight. However, Yubel does just straight up say, I bet you love him more than me.
You know, there's a blonde bitch in the intro who is not in any of our assigned episodes.
Uh-huh.
At all. Did she die?
She died.
Okay.
But she is objectively what the show wants us to think should be Judai's girlfriend. However, they barely ever interact.
Uh-huh.
Occasionally, she will get jealous when another girl looks at Judai, but it never goes anywhere.
It has the energy of a show that was, like, trying
desperately to fight the allegations.
Asuka and it kind of has the energy of a show that was trying to make Judai and Asuka a thing, but then they accidentally slipped. Their hand accidentally slipped, and they put Johan in a bondage suit.
Johan in the hot cyber slut outfit. Because Asuka,
I mean, I'm just saying, Yubel did not possess that bitch.
Yeah, Yubel did not possess Asuka. Because season one, Asuka has, like, there's all these little bits where it's like, we have to do this duel, and oh my god, the duel was actually to see who would get to marry Asuka, and Judai won, but he doesn't actually know what it means to get engaged with someone. That's crazy. Damn. They're engaged together. There's, like, this one girl who sneaks into school because she thinks Judai is really cool, and Asuka just doesn't like her for some reason. Oh, that's crazy. It never goes anywhere because Judai doesn't know. He doesn't.
Yeah, Judai has that Sonic the Hedgehog energy where he just doesn't know.
He's unaware of it the whole time, except for Johan and Yubel. Then he is locked the fuck in.
Yeah. There is zero romantic tension between, well, Judai and anyone on the show, like, literally until Johan shows up. And then Yubel shortly follows.
Yeah, it is. This is a show, once again, like Sonic the Hedgehog, where Judai has a lot of people who think they're dating him. He doesn't know. They will be like, yeah, I'm Judai's favorite. We do everything together. And Judai is fully just like, in the sense that I am in the same room as you.
Yeah, he's kind of like, he's not the one, like, we've done some before where, like, they collect boyfriends, but just because they're, like, a huge flirt, you know?
Yeah,
He doesn't know he's, like, he literally is like a brick wall to everybody, and they're all just like projecting, like, "Oh yeah, we have a serious, friendly, serious, maybe more than platonic relationship." And he's like, "Okay."
There's a point, you know the little blue haired fuck who got to watch Judai's entire duel for some reason.
Oh yeah, with the yellow guy.
Yeah, show. Uh-huh. There's a point in season three where he always goes to Judai for advice, once again because he thinks he's dating him, and he's like, "Oh, I'm thinking about dueling really hard, but also I don't know how to find my own style to do. Judai, what do I do?" And Judai's like, "Just fucking duel, dude." And Sho's like, "You don't understand me," and runs away crying. And Johan just looks at him and is like, "So did you not, like, get what was going on there?" Or, and Judai's like, "What?" And I just, I love that Johan can see everyone is like, "Judai, they're all trying to date you." And Judai is just like, "What?
What?
What? Oh.
Huh.
Weird.
Weird, but you're my boyfriend.
But we're dating.
And I have a wife.
We're dating, and I may or may not already have a wife."
Yeah.
So that's weird.
Divorced since day one.
I'm willing to give it a one or a two.
Yeah. This is one territory to me.
This is for every attempt they try to make it heterosexual, it's they immediately drop it.
Mm-hmm.
There is not an attempt. It is like an obligation.
Yeah.
No hetero.
It's like five,
it's,
right?
It's a five. Yeah. Ubel does once again straight up say, oh, so you, the love you had for me goes to Johan now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it,
Johan, or Ubel is also the most non-binary bitch on the planet.
Yeah, exactly. In the sense that, once again, one titty, one pectoral.
In the, like...
Ubel also possesses Johan as the only way to get a rise out of Judai.
Yes. And I do feel like there is... I think the only points that can be given for this show trying to heterosexualize is the fact that whenever Ubel is, like...
Talking to
particularly Judai's flirty. Sweet. Yes. Particularly flirty adopts with Judai, voice. Has the feminine voice. And then yep. when it's more about, like, I'm going to attack you, it's
I'm going to hurt
voice.
You, it becomes...
I'm going to kill, maim, or harm you in some way. Yes,
it becomes more masculine.
It's the male voice, yes. And then only at the very end is it both.
I feel like I could write an essay about, like, the psychology behind that one, but...
uh-huh.
That is,
Yeah.
That is juicy right there.
Yeah.
So
I feel like that should maybe take or add some points to one of these, but... I don't know. Maybe hetero is like a 4.5.
Because once again, Ubel, look at them.
I know.
Look at them with your eyeballs, please. Also, once again, the hilarity that every time Ubel was switching between more mask or femme voice, the characters would just switch between saying he or she.
Yeah. That was a thing.
Good shit.
They would just be like, oh, Ubel has the mask voice on. Okay, he is playing very evilly right now. Oh, Ubel has the femme voice. She is going to use that card. Just thanks.
It's like Neferpito all over
it's
again.
It's Neferpito. It's characters just being like, yeah, you know, it's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No Romo. Judai no and Romo. Johan are buds.
Mm-hmm.
They're, like, the most besties in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Ubel is married to Judai. Like, canonically.
Yeah.
But also, again, canonically said, all of the love you had for me, your
is
ex-wife.
Now going to Johan. But, however, Judai did get married to them both within the span of 30 minutes. He said, I do twice.
Yeah. I think...
This is a tough one.
Yeah, it feels... It feels down the middle for me. I'm feeling a three.
Yeah, because once again, Johan and Judai... Judai, I don't think he knows what romance is.
No.
I don't think he knows what it is. He did get married twice.
He did, mm-hmm. is the thing.
He did is the thing. He recognized that maybe romance is what it takes to get Ubel to not genocide the entire universe. Mm-hmm. But...
Yeah.
I don't think he knows what it is. So I'm thinking a three.
Yeah, three sounds right.
A three sounds so right.
So we got like an 8.5?
That's an 8.5.
8.5, baby. Getting into the decimals.
Very respectable score.
A very respectable score for, once again, an entirely vibes-based show.
The funniest show.
The funniest show. I cannot recommend this show because it's so fucking long. Everyone mm-hmm. should watch it, though.
If you were if looking you find for a background way. Show, like, just to have
oh, it's a perfect
at,
background
like,
show.
It's there. It's there for you.
It is a perfect show to, like, pull up your favorite game on your Nintendo Switch.
Mm-hmm.
And just have on, so every time you tune back in, some people are saying some bullshit, and you're just kind of like, what?
You're like, what? I was like, only looking away for 5 minutes. And
you're like, why is a monkey dueling?
Uh-huh.
Why are they talking about that guy learning how to do the perfect draw so he could... quote unquote get the golden egg sandwich at breakfast?
If you watch GX, you're gonna have a great time.
If you watch
like,
GX,
no,
you're
no
going
two
to
ways
be,
about it.
You're going to be changed fundamentally as a person.
True.
It's going to reset your brain chemistry a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Emery, what are we doing next week? Get us out of here.
Next week, folks. Do you like the internet?
Oh, that place that Lane came from?
the place that Lane came from, do you like it if, what if the internet was a big simulation and also a metaphor for capitalism?
I'm thinking, I do like when that happens, yes.
I do like metaphors for capitalism.
Do you like it when they make three movies and they say, that's it, that's the movies, and then much later they make a fourth movie?
They make one more movie and say, that might be it. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Depends how much money this one makes.
Mm-hmm. Also, do you like it when that fourth movie is like a very much about the process of making a franchise movie and is kind of like, man, we're...
The shit sucks, huh?
You know, shit sucks.
Wow.
We're going to do Matrix Resurrections.
We're going to talk about Matrix Resurrections. I can't wait. Mostly because there's some queerness hitting in that movie in general. It's a Matrix movie. I would like to talk about how in that movie, suddenly, Agent Smith just, like, instead of being outright evil, it's just, like, a little bit flirty with Neo in that movie.
I know, he's just a little bit like, I'm just here to be gay.
He's just like, I'm here to be gay and kind of be flirty with you. Maybe beat you up a little bit. I don't know. Just whatever takes my fancy. It's all he does in that movie, and I think it's great.
It's quite beautiful.
I love when a villain goes from being a threat to just being like, what if I showed up and just kind of flirted with you? Just, like, teased you a little
Neil
bit.
What if Neil Patrick Harris was your evil therapist?
What if you had an evil therapist who is evil?
Damn.
That'd be crazy.
That'd be wild.
That would be so fucking wild.
That would be crazy. Hell yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
What are our plugs?
Well, you can find the podcast at WeWereQueerBait at twitter.com. You can find me on Tumblr at Jazz Dumpster. Or you can find me on the Sonic Hustle, a whole and complete Sonic lore podcast. I would like to shout us out for the thing that happens when you're a podcaster and you forget that people listen to your podcast. We did a fan comic called Hanging Out a while ago, and I love that comic. It's great. I think
it's
everyone
really
should
good.
Read it. Apparently the creator of it listened to our episodes. They liked them. They said they were good.
That's fucking wild.
That's beautiful.
It did make me sit there and go, oh shit, did I say anything mean about the comic? did I say anything mean? The meanest thing I said was that, and it was loving, was that two of the robots were just inventing neoliberalism again to take over the world.
Hmm.
Which the creator did say, yes, that is what I did, huh? That's what I wrote them to do, huh? That's crazy.
Incredible.
Everyone should
listen. Shout out to Hydroxian.
Good shit. I think they stream art on Fridays and they make commissions for people. So people should just get a commission from Hydroxian.
Hell yeah.
Everyone should go do that. They should get a commission of their favorite character doing the funny dog pose.
So true.
Will not describe what the funny dog pose is.
No, we know.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know.
You know, you know.
The show has stuff on Tumblr at We Rate Queerbait and Gon X Will X Hunting for our Hunter Hunter stuff, and I'm on Bandcamp at El Sky.
I am on a podcast called Check Out the Sky, where we talk about OCs. I'm also on an upcoming audio drama pilot. Ooh, secret. Maybe you'll learn about it later when the time is right. I'm also on for Affinity with the username Space Robot. You can get in touch with me about commissions. I might not get to them for a little while because I have a new job now.
Big oof.
But,
you know, it happens.
But you can get in touch about those commissions over Discord if you know me there, or spacerobotart@gmail.com. That's it for me.
So, hey.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, y'all.
What's that?
What?
We should all duel right now.
Mm.
Oh, what if we just all shuffled our decks right now?
What if we all shuffled our decks and in my opening hand, I revealed... Sword Soul Moye and was able to summon Longwan, which revealed a token that is level 4 and a tuner, which I could synchro summon to get Sword Soul Quanxi out. And then with that, I could... does any of that make any sense to you so far?
No.
Great.
Well,
it's only going to get worse.
Well, what if I were to respond by evolving my Palmon into a Sunflowmon, suspending that Sunflowmon to play a second Palmon for free, which is going to allow me to search my deck, the first four cards of my deck, for a fairy and a planter vegetation. Uh-huh. So I'm going to take that Bloomlordmon and that Cherrymon. I'm going to suspend my Palmon to evolve Sunflowmon into Cherrymon for zero. And then I'm going to spend four to evolve Cherrymon into Bloomlordmon, so it's going to gain two memory, unsuspend, and I'm going to attack you and gain piercing also. So I'm going to attack your suspended monster with piercing, do two security checks for 14,000.
Well, you guys are fucked because I got a full house, baby.
I was going to say, while we were sitting here saying that, the look of quiet anguish on Sky's face. The thing about a podcast being a completely visual audio medium is that sometimes you can't see the look of anguish that appears on a host's face.
When their co-hosts are describing something that they can only just smile and nod.
Yeah,
and
only sit
to.
There and be like, wow, you guys are such fucking losers.
God.
That'd be crazy if we did that, though.
That would be crazy if we all stopped this to have a card duel where none of us are playing the same game.
Well, we're not a single one of us is playing the same card game at all. I'm just kidding.
It would be crazy.
Just kidding.
We would never do that, though.
Unless.
Unless.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.